The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report. We are always on location at one of the two Wild Eggs in Lexington, and today we're here at Palomar. Nice crowd already, but there are a few tables open, so come out, join us. If you come out and you tell them that you're a fan of the show, you can punch it up on your app and listen, and you can get free coffee for your whole table. Just tell them you're a fan of the show on these Monday morning quarterback editions of the Leach Report. Coming up on the show today, Coach Steve Ortmeyer's here, and we'll also visit with Jacob Tammy. Also got some post-game sound from Andy Kennedy, former Ole Miss coach who was the analyst on the basketball game last night. So we'll hear from all of those sources right here on this edition of the show. That guest lineup's always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. And we'll start with the most recent event for UK, and that was the win over VMI last night, 92-82. The story of the game was the 5'11", and as Mike Pratt pointed out during the broadcast, that was a generous measurement. Point guard for VMI, Bubba Parham, scored 35 points. He hit 10 threes on an assortment of rainbow shots, tie-arcing shots from wild angles and from incredible distances. You remember where Tayshaun Prince shot the last of his five consecutive threes to start that game against North Carolina? Had a foot on that UK logo at midcourt. Well, Parham shot one from as far or farther back. On the side of the court, there's a logo that spells out Rupp Arena. The R in Rupp is closest to the baseline. He shot it from the R in Arena. So just an incredible shooting display. As a team, VMI made 19 threes. That's a record in Rupp Arena. The previous high was 18 by Sam Houston State in John Calipari's second game at Kentucky. And they had one player that made 11 in that game, so Bubba Parham did not get the individual record, but VMI did have the team record for most threes against Kentucky. Defense, obviously, still an issue for the Wildcats. The emphasis, really, since down at the beginning of the Bahamas trip, has been on containing straight-line drives. This game, it was more the threes were the issue. P.J. Washington had a great game with 19 points and 18 boards. Reed Travis didn't start, but came off the bench to get 22 and lead Kentucky. And Quade Green had some really big shots in the second half to keep VMI at bay. And Kentucky was very good at the free throw line. They're shooting at close to 75% at the free throw line now. They made 29 of 35 last night. Kentucky in football, a winner over MTSU on senior day, 34-23. And it was neat that so many seniors made big plays in the game. Josh Allen set the single season and career sack record. Mike Edwards, also like Josh, had double-digit tackles. He forced a fumble. He had a pick six. He's now he's the second defensive back ever in the 300 tackle club. He has 10 interceptions for his career. So it's been an amazing career for those two guys. But you had Bunchy Stallings, senior right guard, had a key block on a touchdown run for Benny Snell, and it was honestly probably Benny Snell's senior day too, and he went over 100 yards for the 17th time, so that's one short of the school record, and he's 200 and change away from Sonny Collins' career rushing yards record now, so he's got a shot to get that in these last couple of games. Kentucky moves up to number 17, up three spots in the AP poll, and up three spots in the coaches' poll to number 18, heading into this matchup with Louisville on Saturday night, in which Kentucky is an 18.5-point favorite. And it was quite a day on the UK campus yesterday as men's soccer advanced to the third round of the NCAA tournament with a 4-0 win over Portland. and volleyball. Actually, it was actually out in Missouri. It was on the road. They won 3-0 for a sweep. Their winning streak continues, and that clinched at least a share of the SEC title. So that's back-to-back SEC titles for volleyball, and that hasn't happened here since 1988. The women's basketball team got a nice win over High Point yesterday. So just all in all, a great weekend for the UK Athletics Department. A couple of other basketball scores of note from the SEC. Arkansas beat Indiana 73-72 yesterday, and Alabama over Wichita State 90-86. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leacher Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're on location for the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We're at Wild Eggs in Palomar, and we'll visit with Coach Ortmeier when we come right back here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
You know, they did a lot of unusual things that got us, you know, outmanned and outpositioned. So, you know, credit to that team. They did a heck of a job game plan wise. And then once they was going, they was going. So we knew we had to get a stop. And once we got that last, you know, second to the last stop, we knew we was going to be, you know, be physical, because there's not a lot of stuff they can do now. They got to score, and Benny did come up to me. He came up to me today. He's like, you know, we got to pick it up. I told him I got him, and in that series, I got the sack.
That was Josh Allen and his sack on a 4th-and-1 play. It was 31-23 at that point. It was 4th-and-1. MTSU went for it there, and Kentucky got the sack. And Josh Allen broke the career sack record at that point, and then that launched Kentucky on the drive for what was ultimately the game-clinching field goal. And just a really cool day for Josh Allen. There's a neat picture of him holding his little boy in the senior day ceremony. And then Oliver Barnett, who held the career record for sacks, was there, came down on the field after the game, gave Josh a big hug. So just some really cool moments on senior day out at Kroger Field. As we welcome in Coach Steve Ortmeier, and he talked about how well MTSU played in the start of that soundbite. And we talk about Bubba Parham last night. There was another little guy. They list Brent Stockstill at 6 feet. I'm pretty sure he's under 6 feet, as I'm sure Bubba Parham is not 5'11". So two sub-6-footers really had incredible days against Kentucky. Stockstill threw an interception on his first pass. He hit 30 of his next 32, and they look like empty the playbook.
He is a good player. He is a really good player, and Tony did empty the playbook against us. They really wanted to win that game, and they came in firing on all guns. And Stockstill is a great player in that offense, because he's actually calling the game from the line of scrimmage. He really is. He's changing the call on the line of scrimmage, or getting to the proper call for our alignment, and he did a wonderful job, and that was a good team for us to play on that weekend, because we needed a bounce back game, and it gave us a lot to think about defensively, and offensively it was what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, they needed some good things to happen, and they had a clean game, turnover free. Yep. They got back to making some big plays.
Yeah.
And I think got back to kind of who they were. I was looking at the numbers, and you know, part of this stat I'm going to mention is relative to playing from behind. They actually had the lead when Mike Edwards got that pick six the first series. It's the first time Kentucky had a lead since the South Carolina game in regulation, because obviously at Missouri it happened on an untimed down. So Kentucky got to play from ahead, and they got to kind of get their own tempo, because if you look since the South Carolina game, they'd been about 50-50 run pass. Before that, they were 70-30 run pass, and that's, you know, probably somewhere 60% at least is who Kentucky is. They're not a 50-50 run pass team. It's not when they're at their best, and they were playing from behind a lot in October and early November. They got ahead in this game, and I think that's what that would be the script to try to get this win at Louisville.
It would be, and that was a big touchdown play by Mike, because we needed, for exactly the reasons you're saying, we needed to get on top and get a little bit of our swagger back, which we did for the first half of that game, and then went on with a very tough Middle Tennessee team in the second half. But I felt last week was a tailor-made week to get our offense back and humming a little bit, and it was. And I feel that this week is a perfect week to get our defense back.
This game reminded me a little bit of a game you were involved in when you're on Coach Brooks' staff here in 06. You guys had just beaten Georgia. Louisiana Monroe comes in, and in the second half of that game, they found their rhythm, I think, with some read option stuff, and you just couldn't stop it on that day. And they kept running it, and ended up being a 42-40 game. Jeremy Jarman made a tackle on a two-point conversion that would have tied the game. The next week, you went down and played great against Tennessee. Sometimes you get, especially against teams, these mid-major type teams with a veteran quarterback, you get in a matchup and they get in a rhythm, and you are just kind of like a horse racing for the finish line.
Yeah, you are. You are, and you're all out to get there, and you just want the wire to come up, so to speak. And that's what it did on that given day, and that's kind of what it did in this Middle Tennessee game. Middle Tennessee put a real threat on us at the end of this game, and Josh stepped up and made that play. It's amazing how many key plays at the late in game this year that Josh Allen has made.
8 sacks of his 13 have come in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they are all memorable.
Yeah, one thing for a lot of good things Middle Tennessee did, they made one big mistake because in that fourth and one play, I'm looking out on the field and I'm seeing Josh kind of roaming around outside the left tackle, and there's no help there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, he should be able to get to the quarterback here, and Stocksville never had a chance because they should have had somebody over there helping on that fourth and one play against Josh.
Yep, and then a play later came up in the game. And it's my opinion that Josh dips his right shoulder better from our left side, and that happened to be Stockstill's backside.
Yes.
So that sack late in the game after the one you're talking about was a big play and also very tailor-made. You could have predicted that this is going to happen.
We're talking with Coach Steve Ortmeier, a longtime special teams tight end coach for Coach Brooks here at Kentucky, and a lot of NFL experience as well, so we want to tap into a little of that since it was senior day, and some of these guys will be heading off to the league. Right now we need to get to a break, and we'll come right back. It's the Leach Report, the Monday morning quarterback edition, and we're on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. Jacob Tammy will join us a little later on the Kentucky branded hotline. We'll be right back.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
It's our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback show, and on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. Come out, tell them you're a fan of the show, and when you get seated, tell them that, and you can get free coffee for the whole table. We're here with Coach Steve Ortmeier. Jacob Tammy will join us here in just a bit. One of the neat stories on Saturday was Josh Pascal coming back. Anybody that's lost anybody in their family to cancer, you like to hear stories of people beating it. And Josh coming back from that cancer diagnosis in August to get back on the field and also make a tackle. They started him. Just a really cool story.
Really cool story. That was a great part of that game.
Let's talk about a bounce-back guy, because you worked with kickers a lot. And you talk to these guys still. You've helped Austin get into the NFL. Miles Butler, as he wins the job as a senior, goes through a rough patch, missed 3 in a row, and so they went to the freshman, Chance Poor. Now, coming into this game, Chance had played in 3 games, so if you don't play him in more than 4, you can redshirt him. So that's part of the thinking, too. But the other thing is he missed 2 last week, so they go back to Miles, and he's perfect. And he ends up kicking what, was a crucial field goal there at the end, because it's still a one-score game if he doesn't get that one there in the fourth quarter. And it was neat to see him come through.
It was neat to see him come through. And I texted Austin after the game and told him what a good job he had done working with Miles, because that was a little tough situation on the kid, because they had dumped him and went to Chance and decided to come back to him, and it was perfect for him. It got to a crucial point in the game. They had to have a field goal, and they didn't hesitate.
And I went down and watched him on the field before the game, and he was really – he was hitting the ball, it looked like, better than he was back in October. Sometimes as a kicker, I'm sure it's like a golfer on the first tee, yeah, it can get in your head. And so he had missed kicks. He had that crucial one down at A&M that hit the crossbar. And so he's pressing. And all of a sudden, once you lose the job, maybe it changes your mindset a little bit. And anyway, he was hitting the ball really well. I saw him hit one that probably would have been good in excess of 45 yards. I think he missed only one, and it was a bad snap on that one. So I salute him for taking the right mindset to it and coming through.
I do. I do, too. And the thing that would bother me as a kicker, and it shouldn't, you shouldn't allow it to bother you, but the thing that would have bothered me as a kicker in that position last week is this team blocks kicks for a living.
Yes.
They block kicks for a living, and that would have been a little bit in my head.
Yeah, they blocked, I think, in Coach Stockstill's 13 years there, they had blocked 41 punts or kicks.
Yep. Yep, and
nearly got a punt.
Yeah, nearly got a punt, and that's what I'm saying. If I were running on the field as Miles Butler, I would have said, "Please, protection."
But yeah, they helped him, and then he hit it well. Both of his kicks were good. And you watch where they go, and they look to be in the PATs too, right between.
When they're in the middle 3 feet, then you know they're in a good rhythm.
Yeah, that's what you look for. Let's talk a little bit about the game Saturday. It's a rivalry game. Obviously, Louisville struggling. I would suspect, you can talk about this from your coaching perspective, but I would suspect you're going to get their best shot at the start if you come out and set the tone and take charge of the game. Then they may lose their will to fight.
Yeah,
but they'll stay in the game kind of as long as you let them.
They will, and you can't give them encouragement, or this will end up being a tough situation. You've got to take control right from the start. You've got to start fast, and you've got to shut things down defensively. And that's why I said a while ago, I think this is a perfect game because they are struggling offensively, no question. This is a perfect game to get our defensive swagger back and end this season with a good offensive game against Middle, and hopefully it'll be good this week, but a good defensive game against Louisville to go into the bowl game.
Because Middle had a veteran quarterback, as you said, that could kind of call the game at the line of scrimmage, and it's just the opposite at Louisville. So you have a team with a young quarterback that has been struggling, and they're not going to be able to give him as much to throw at Kentucky as they were able to give a veteran like Stockstill.
That's right. We should jump on them defensively and get three and outs, and like you say, if we do that, they're liable to turn it in a little bit early in this game because it's not going to be a great weather game, and everything's going to be discouraging for them to fight.
Speaking of three and outs, I was watching, got home in time to see probably from the second quarter on that Tennessee-Missouri game. Tennessee lost their starting quarterback. They had a bunch of turnovers, so the game got away from them. I don't think the score was an accurate representation of what the matchup would be if you played a series. Nevertheless, Missouri had a big day, and you see what Drew Locke did and how sharp he was in that game. And I think one of the most amazing things in college football this season is that Kentucky held that quarterback and that offense without a first down for an entire half.
It is. That is amazing because Locke is a big-time player, and we were able to get that done in the second half. You know, something you mentioned, Tom, earlier also, if you're watching this game on TV Saturday, this Louisville game, you may want to switch channels back and forth to the A&M game,
yeah,
because – it's liable, as Tom thinks, that it's liable to be a big game if LSU takes a loss at Texas A&M.
Which could certainly happen, and maybe that impacts Kentucky's bowl situation. We'll get into maybe a little bit of that later on. Right now, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome back into our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report. We're here at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. We alternate between this location and Hamburg each week. Coach Steve Ortmeyer's alongside, and we go to the Kentucky Branded Hotline and bring on Jacob Tammy, UK Athletics Hall of Famer. And Jacob, this was the way you'd like a senior day script to be written, where you get the win and the seniors make most, if not all, of the big plays, right?
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I was really happy with the senior class. I tell you, they've done so much for this program. I hated, like we talked about last week, the fact that we lost a little bit of momentum coming into this senior day. But all that's under the bridge at this point. They came out, played hard, played well for the most part. Seniors, like you said, stepped up and made some really big plays. You know, just really happy for those guys because, you know, to go out on top on senior night, I mean, we're 8-3. Just a really solid game. We did what we needed to do.
I saw this amazing stat yesterday from the Cat's Paws, and this was on Twitter. Kentucky is ranked for the 9th week in a row in the AP Top 25, moved up 3 spots to 17 this week. Those 9 weeks equal the number of weeks Kentucky had been ranked previously, going back to 1989. So 9 weeks in a row equals the number going back from 89 to 2017. It's a strong statement of what this group has accomplished.
It is. It tells you how solid we've been this year, right? I mean, we've just been
absolutely
as solid as any recent Kentucky team, for sure, and maybe, you know, as you mentioned, a long time this solid all year. And, you know, like we talked about last week, it's hard not to lay one egg, and I'm not excusing it, but it's hard not to do that. There's not a whole lot of teams across college football that won't, and we've done it once this year, and other than that, we've had a really solid year of football. Are there things need to get better? Sure. You know, offensively, we continue to need to improve, but we've had a fantastic, you know, season, and now it's about finishing it the right way. I mean, I said it last week. We got to get to 9-3, and then we got to go win a bowl game. I mean, to get to 10 wins would be a huge step for Kentucky football.
Yeah, you're right. It would, Jake. And interestingly enough, the tight end was lost, and now he's found.
That's right. Now, how about I think I said on Twitter a couple weeks ago, like, you know, he's back. He's here. He's been found. He's alive. He's alive. And, you know, of course, everyone, you know, knows it'd be great to get CJ involved more this whole year. But the thing is, I mean, I understand Eddie Grant. You know, it's not always easy to dial up, you know, things specifically for a tight end. And we've got a quarterback that, and I, you can, but I'm saying, you know, CJ does a lot of things great. He's a great blocker. He makes tough catches, you know, but, you know, you don't really dial up one-on-one routes for him all the time. But we got to give him more opportunities to catch balls in traffic like we have a few times now in the last few weeks and make a big play for us because he can do that. And
What they did, faking it to Benny and hitting him on that little quick slant over the middle.
Yeah, yeah. I think Terry throws that stuff well.
And we've had a quarterback growing all year, right? We've talked about it several times this year. You know, we had a quarterback that's been growing. He's finding out who he is, what he can do, and, you know, I think as he moves forward, he'll get even better at relying on his tight end more and more. But, you know, CJ stepped up and has for several weeks now and, you know, just continues to do a great job in all facets of the game, overall player, just a great team player. Happy for him.
Yeah, and you remark about Terry learning and growing and doing things well. But I think that Graham really helped him by taking the read off of him and letting him just run the play fake and dial up the shot to CJ. If you give him decisiveness, he's a good quarterback.
We've talked about it since A&M. If we can get him to be decisive, and that's both play calling, you know, and Terry himself. It's a combination, right, of the two things. Got to put him in position to be successful, and Terry's got to continue to grow in that area. But if we can get him making decisive, quick decisions and utilizing the pocket when he can, you know, getting out of it when he needs to, and I think he continues to grow there. And, you know, he's done a nice job overall.
It's one area where he, you know, you played with a guy who was incredible at, you know, managing a pocket and moving around in there. Coaches call it playing in a phone booth. It's not really applicable anymore because we don't have phone booths, but that's what they call it, where you're in that pocket and maybe it's a step up, it's a step to the right. It's, you know, it's just kind of moving in and out. And Terry still likes to abandon that quickly and scramble, and that's something they'll have to help him grow into. But that's something that you know is a big part of being effective as a quarterback, right?
That's a fantastic point. I'm glad you said that because that's one thing I've noticed about Terry, and it's, I know, continued spot of growth, I think, for him. It's either pocket, decision, throw, or it's wait, scramble, when there are times when it's not about a big movement. It's about, like, one step. I mean, one step changes the game. It doesn't matter if you got Von Miller out there. If you take one step, or sometimes it's a half a step. You know, Peyton Manning can't move. You know, he's as fast as my tractor I got sitting over here. But he never got sacked. You know, first of all, he kind of went down when he needed to. But, you know, he never got sacked. He avoided so many sacks with one step, you know. And one, you know, it's a half a step here, half a step there. It's moving your hips a little bit and, bam, throwing, you know. And Terry, I think, will have the ability to do that. It's a little hard for him because he's a good runner. And, you know, he's tempted to see what he can do with his legs. But I think all that comes with time. But I think that pocket presence continues to develop. Like you said, it's a little movement here and there.
Rick emails in leachreport@gmail.com. Cat fans should not be concerned over how ugly some of the 8 wins have been this year. Just enjoy them. He cites some examples of Tennessee. You have a couple of ugly wins in their 98 championship run, but he finishes up by saying, personally, I'm a rejoicing Cat fan in every victory because I remember how miserable it was a few years back. That's a good attitude to have.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's like we just love misery. You know, we've got some of these great wins that haven't been pretty. It's like, well, it's going to bite us here later. And that sometimes that stuff is true, but like, man, we're 8-3. Let's enjoy it a little bit. I mean, I'm as miserable as anybody when we don't play well. You know, I hate to see that, but, you know, and we've done it a couple of times. But, man, how many times have we won some fantastic wins this year? And, you know, Louisville scares me. I don't know why. They stink. But at the same time, you know, obviously we have nothing to win, nothing. And they got everything to win and nothing to lose. So that part, you know, gets you a little bit, you know, you're scared. But at the same time, they stink. We need to go whoop them. And, you know, I think offensively, hopefully we're continuing to kind of grow. You saw some things last week. I feel like we can score, get out here and get this thing finished right. And, you know, I do think we just, as a fan base, we really got to sit back and appreciate what this season has been because it's been fantastic.
I was asking Coach about this earlier. I get your take on this as far as from a player perspective, that if it's – would be very beneficial to Kentucky to come out and just really take the fight to Louisville and get off to a good start. Because when you're having a bad season like the Louisville kids are, it's a rivalry game. You're going to play for pride to start it. But if things start to go sour, then you might say, oh, here we go again, and lose your will to fight a little bit. And that's, as I said earlier, I think in a situation like this, the team that is struggling will stay in the game as long as you let them.
Oh, that's exactly right. And I think, Coach, I'm sure Mark is making that point to the players. Look, these guys have not been good. You better bring your A game, though, and come out here and get after them early. There's no reason to let them hang around. And you know, the hard thing for us, and this is part of the reason the game scares me a little bit, you know, I'm just being honest here, we're not very explosive right now.
Right.
And, you know, we can't – you know, most of these teams have been getting up on Louisville, and the game is 50 to 21, or it's 48 to 30, or it's 60 to 15. But I don't know. I don't care who we're playing. I don't really see us scoring 60 right now. So – you know, we've got to come out, though, and find some explosiveness and make some plays offensively, get a lead. And, yeah, it's not our style of our team. We've been successful this year pounding the ball, playing defense, and we'll do it again if we have to. But I'd like to see us get a lead. You know, I really would.
I thought they kind of got back to their identity offensively in this last game with getting Benny over 100 yards and sticking with the running game. And then coming up with some of those things like the quick slant to CJ and some passes they could be effective with,
and that's who this team is.
Yeah.
It's stick Benny at them and then open up the passing. But I kind of hope that if Grant will go the other way this week, if he'll take some shots right off the bat and try to be explosive, then it'll open up for Benny to have a 150-yard kind of game.
Jacob.
Yeah, let's let Bowden, you know, go for about, you know, 115 in the first half, a couple long passes, and then we'll get Benny as 150. We'll get Rose about 75. Rose continues to impress me when he gets his chances. So,
yeah,
you know, you talk about a chance to be explosive, you know, and Benny is obviously Benny, and he's amazing. But Rose has real opportunity to be explosive for us as well. I'd like to see him get involved a little bit. And, you know, hopefully, like we're saying, we can get a little bit of a lead. It hasn't been our thing, but it'd be great to jump out and kind of get a lead, let our defense pin their ears back and go.
With the lack of success that Kentucky's outside receivers have had, I assume if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, you're going to put a lot of extra emphasis on Bowden. So I like what they're doing to try to put him in some different roles. They put him back in the backfield with Benny on a play or two the other day and try to do some things out of that.
Neat thing about him is you can use him a lot of different ways. You're exactly right. You know, you can't just say, hey, we're going to throw it to him every time because he's been our best receiver. He's our most explosive receiver, but they are trying. Three games ago, we put him back there we were going to do something different in the Wildcat. We had a false start. It was, you know, of course everyone's like, oh, why are we doing that? I mean, we're probably about 3 seconds from having a touchdown. You know, nice design and using him differently. And, you know, we do so much Wildcat where Benny just runs it up the middle that we were finally going to get something done there, I think. And then, you know, we had the false start. But we're using him different ways. I like the kid. I mean, he's been fantastic all year. And yeah, you're right. I hope we continue to mix him around and to make it where they can't just focus on him all the time. We got to have some other guys make some plays too, you know. So we got to have some other guys continue to get involved and make a play here or there.
Jacob, always appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Hey, yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Big Blue Nation. Great week.
Jacob Tammy joins us here on the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Shows. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. We'll be back out at the Hamburg location for our show next week to put a bow on the season and look ahead to the bowl game. But right now, we've got to look ahead to a break. We'll come right back. More with Coach Ortmeier when we return here on the Leach Report.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Welcome back into our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show edition of the Leach Report on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. Appreciate Jacob Tammy joining us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline as he does on Mondays. We're here with Coach Ortmeier for a couple more segments before we wrap things up. We were talking going into the bottom of the hour break about this briefly, but I was just looking at bowl projections. Right now, most of them have Kentucky to the Citrus Bowl. I think most of the projections I've seen have them playing Northwestern. I was just looking at the New Year's Six thing. I think there might be a slight window for Kentucky to sneak back in there because I was looking at the one I looked at this morning. This was CBS, but so there's a bunch of them out there. But they had the Rose Bowl is going to take a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. The Sugar Bowl is most, assuming Georgia doesn't beat Alabama, the Sugar Bowl is going to take Georgia and probably the winner of the Big 12, ideally for them, probably Oklahoma. And then you've got the Fiesta and the Peach. And right now CBS Sports has a projection of Florida and UCF in the Fiesta and LSU and Penn State in the Peach. And I just wonder, could Kentucky sneak back in if LSU were to lose at Texas A&M?
I think there's
Saturday?
A big chance
Maybe
of that.
They could.
I think there's a big chance
Florida
of that.
Florida plays Florida State. That's a much less likely one for the Gators to lose than the. But I think LSU certainly could be in jeopardy at A&M.
Absolutely, and you're telling me they're a 1-point dog. So
yeah.
That speaks well to A&M.
And you just look around at the rankings, and you know Washington ranks ahead of Kentucky, but they're probably going to lose to Washington State this week and drop. West Virginia just lost, and so if they lose again to Oklahoma on Friday night, then they would. Be below Kentucky in the pecking order. I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you would want to root for West Virginia to lose that game on Saturday. If they beat Oklahoma, that would certainly help their case. And then they could play them again in the Big 12 championship game, I think. And then you'd want to root for LSU, obviously, to lose to A&M and or Florida to lose to Florida State. And if some things happen, I remember some crazy things happened back in, was it, 07 for LSU to win the national championship.
Yeah, and you know something? Northwestern's not a bunch of stiffs. They could be in this picture too. You're projecting perhaps Kentucky against Northwestern, but I wouldn't count Northwestern out of the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, maybe so. Because Ohio State, if they should have lost Saturday, and if they lose to Michigan, that would be second loss for them. So we'll see. Michael emails in at leachreport@gmail.com. He said, let me clarify before I'm critical that I'm overall thrilled with the season Kentucky's had. Don't want to sound like he's complaining, but it seems the very thing that helped us win so many games is also going to hold us back from taking the next step. And he talks about being too conservative and offensively. The thing I would point out is I think Kentucky, number one, Mark Stoops comes from a defensive background. He's going to be on the spectrum. He's going to be on the conservative side versus the open it up side. But look at 2 years ago when Kentucky had a healthy Steven Johnson, had Benny and Boom running the football, had Jeff Badette on the outside. They hung, was it 41 on Louisville, 40 on Mississippi State. They were winning shootout games then. They didn't have this kind of defense. And they were he was perfectly fine with doing that.
He was. He had the tools.
With the right personnel,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily always going to look like it looks right now. They've got a first-year quarterback. They've got nobody in the receiving game that's making big plays on the outside for them. They also have had shaky kicking. So with all of those things and a great defense, you're going to play to protect the defense and try to limit turnovers and win that way.
Absolutely, particularly because, as you say, that's his nature. But it's immeasurable how much we miss the Boone-Bidet combination.
Yes. You pointed that out to me before even last season, and I remember we were chatting out of Keeneland, and I always thought it came back to that as this last season unfolded, because they never have really replaced they've come closer on Boone with AJ, but he's not quite to Boone's level, and they've never come close to replacing Bidet.
That explosion is just not been there, and hopefully Wandale Robinson gives us some of that.
Maybe so. We are going to get to our last break. We'll come back, finish things up on this Monday edition of the Leach Report from the Wild Eggs in Palomar.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Final couple of minutes of the show here at Wild Eggs in Palomar. Got a nice crowd on hand. We'll be back at the Hamburg location next week, so come out and join us. And even if you don't get here until the show's over, just tell them you're a fan of the show, and you get free coffee for your entire table. And then we do a Pick the Score contest on the Leach Report Facebook page, through which you can win a Wild Egg gift card. So look for that later this week. Last week we changed up a little bit the prediction on, I think it was Benny's rushing yards. So look for the contest and a chance to win a Wild Eggs gift card later this week. About a minute or so left here, Coach, to talk just a little bit about Josh Allen at the NFL. You were NFL GM. I think clearly he's going to be a first-round pick. A 3-4 team, he would be an ideal pick for them, right? Well, somebody like the Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Allen is everything you're looking for. I compare him as being a better prospect coming out than Dupree. No question about it. And
Buds have done well.
Like I say, if somehow you can get him a preponderance of the time on the left side, he is a big time pass rusher off the left side.
What about Benny? Where does he project as a draft pick? Probably goes.
I see Benny as being a solid NFL player. I think he's really going to help somebody, and I think he helps somebody like the Patriots. I think he'll get with a good team. He's not gonna test well at the combine. It's just not him.
You're going to appreciate him more when you have him in camp.
Absolutely. He's a gamer rather than a testing guy.
Third, fourth round, lower than that, do you think?
I think maybe fourth. Well, I think fourth is probably right for him.
And I think about this from his standpoint, that wouldn't get any better the next year.
And he's a better – yeah, that's exactly right. And he's a better than a fourth-round player in the right situation. No, there isn't any question about it. But because the NFL is so heavy on measurements, that's where it'll go.
Yeah, no, I just that makes sense. And I think it makes sense for him. As I said, if he comes back, that's great. But I certainly wouldn't expect it. Appreciate Coach Ortmeier, Coach Tammy, for our Monday morning quarterback shows here at the Wild Eggs in Palomar today. Again, we'll be back in Hamburg next week. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow with Jen Smith, Larry Vaught, and former Wildcat Charles Walker. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to leachreport@gmail.com. See you next time.